thankful for the opportunities that we have to hear him preach. We're thankful for the work that he's done in Kiana, Norvik, and that whole region. The Red Dog Mine outreach has been very powerful. And there's still more that's going to be done in that area. The other villages that that we're going to reach out to, he's going to reach out to, and I'm very thankful for that. But you know, there's a saying that says there's no success without a successor. And Brother Farmer has done well in preparing the Summers to take over the pastorate of those churches. And Brother Summers is a pilot. He's flying back and forth to the villages now, as well as working at Red Dog Mine. So that's an amazing thing, that the churches continue to thrive and continue on, even though their pastor is at work full time and then some. And then they come home and pick right up where they left off and charge ahead. So our hats are off to that accomplishment. And very thankful that Brother Farmer was able to work with that. And no doubt Sister Farmer is the driving force there. She's the one really that gets it all done. But no, not really. Wish she was here tonight. Amen. But we appreciate Brother Farmer. Stand with us as we bring Brother Farmer to this pulpit and ask him to share the word of the Lord with us tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap and praise. We love you, Jesus. Praise. Give him a hand clap and praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated in the name of the Lord. This looks like 4 years ago in Kiana, the only ones that are missing right here are the Abbots. Brother Veely, God bless you. Brother Churchill, my electrician Charlie and his beautiful bride. And Brother Churchill and his beautiful bride, amen. And my pastor, Pastor Glover. And he mentioned Brother Summers, and I was talking to the young man here this morning, or here this before service, and he said that, did you say that Pastor had put out like 15 to 20 pastors and men of the gospel? And I put out one. I want to grow up to be just like him. I'm serious about that. I want to do that. Every one of the, I think the final number was 54 co-workers at Red Dog baptized in Jesus' name. And every one of the villagers have all seen that one study. And that study works. I've condensed it into a short version. If you get somebody that's got a short attention span, you got just 30, 40 minutes to give this person an opportunity, amen, to hear the gospel. There is a short version of it, but it does work. And I think any of them will work. I think Bible study is relevant. I think it's relevant. I'll tell you what else is relevant. When I was trying to learn how to teach Bible studies, and can I get a little more monitor, bro? My ears are a little... Yeah, thank you. Teach Bible studies, and I wasn't having a lot of success. And don't be surprised if you don't have a lot of success at the start. Don't just quit. I mean, where would we be if we were children and when we fell down the first time we tried to walk, if we just quit? Is that how you were raised up? I mean, just because you maybe dented the car the first time you drove it doesn't mean that you quit learning how to drive. It's because you wreck a plane the first time. Oh, I won't get on that. Because if you hit a sandbar with a boat, doesn't mean you quit driving. Huh? But anyway, Bible study is definitely relevant. And I support Pastor. In fact, I would like to have a copy of that one that you put together. One reason is because you put it together. Hey, what he does works. I mean, I want stuff that works. But anyway, I was praying to the Lord one day, and I said, Lord, why am I not winning anybody to the Lord? I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall. And the Lord led me to a scripture that says that nobody comes unless the Father draws them. So that changed the way I did everything. I quit just knocking on doors and asking people that weren't interested. I started praying for who God was drawing. I started praying who God was calling. And my success rate changed. I started praying, Lord, let me be sensitive enough in the spirit to recognize who you're drawing, who you're calling. Yeah, get your antenna up. Lord, who are you drawing today? I promise you, he didn't just save you for yourselves. Okay, there's somebody in your life that only you can win, and you don't know who they are. So you got to get your antenna fixed. You've got to get some juice running through that thing. Charlie can help you with that. He can get you wired up, get that thing working. Amen. I went to Red Dog this time, and I wasn't feeling very well, but I went anyway, and I had I ended up with a bacterial infection in my stomach, and I didn't know what I had, and I've had bouts of stomach issues before, and so I would take Pepto-Bismol or Imodium or something, or my wife would get on me, and she'd say, lay them big hands on your stomach and pray, and we would, and but anyway, after over a week of this with Imodium, which normally just locks me up, and antibiotics, which lock me up, Friday afternoon when I got up to go to work, I was miserable. I mean, I was running to the bathroom several times, and I'm praying, God, what do you want me to do here? Well, anyway, I went and seen the medic, and they shipped me out on Saturday. The Thursday night before this, I was in the loader, and the Lord gave me a message. And he's been changing it on me all the time. He kind of changed it on the way down here. So I just want to follow. Do you want what the Lord has to say tonight? I mean, that's what I want. It won't do me any good or you any good to hear what I think or what I have to say. What we really need is to hear from God. We really want to know what the Lord has to say. So what I'd like you to do is just extend your hands toward me right now and let's pray. Lord Jesus, God, I'm asking you to anoint that preacher. God, I'm asking you to be the receiver, God, that he would be the receiver and the microphone, God, of you, what you will is tonight, Lord. God, we need that, God, tonight. God, I just don't want to be up here and read from notes, God. I want you to touch. I want you to touch, God. I want you to guide. And I pray this in Jesus' name. I commend all of you that come up and help and worked on the Kiana Church. Thank you. Brother Summers would not have a church today if you hadn't come. So thank you for coming. He's doing a good job, guys. You're gonna be at camp. You're gonna see what he's bringing to camp this year. Hey, let me tell you what. I had very little to do with that, and that makes my heart just sing. It makes me happy. Have you guys heard people pray Oh God, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Have you heard people pray like that? Have you prayed like that? Well, people, they think that God's mercy and God's grace are Siamese twins, and they're not. They're not Siamese twins. They're completely different. And when I study about grace and I look up grace and I see man's definition of grace, and I see some of it in the scripture too. I'm not totally saying that the definitions of Strong's is completely wrong, but it gives us a false security about having God's favor, unmerited favor. Well, what's the biblical definition of grace? You see, mercy is not getting something we deserve. Now, I can tell you right now, you're looking at a man that's had lots of mercy applied to his life. Without the mercy of God, don't know where I would be. I don't want to even think about that. You know, that's why an aircraft doesn't have rear view mirrors. You ain't supposed to be looking, you ain't worried about what's behind you. Hey, we're worried about what's in front of us, what's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, the runway behind you, the altitude above you, and the fuel you left on the ground don't do you any good. But God's grace, when I went to Bible college, and I don't want to give you the false impression. Mike, it's good to see you. I love you. And I don't want to give you the false impression that I got years of Bible college, because I don't. I did sign up for Brother Sirstead's Bible college 3 different years in a row. I never finished one of them because of work and what have you, okay? And not because I didn't want to, but at that time in my life, I was cramming a lot of knowledge, or trying to, into this little brain of mine. And at that time, God was healing my brain so that I could think, because of all the drugs and all the garbage that I'd run through the system. Hey, if you got somebody in your family that's on drugs and on alcohol and on this, all this even stuff that they're prescribing, I'm telling you, God can heal the brain. God can heal. I'm living proof that God can heal the brain. But anyway, during that time of one of them short visits at Bible school, I figured out, they taught me this rule about the rule of first mention. So the rule of first mention goes like this. It says, whatever word you're looking for a definition of, wherever it's mentioned first in the Bible, is the foundational meaning for that word all the way through. Okay, so where's grace mentioned the first time? Who? Noah. He found grace in the eyes of God. And so what did grace do for Noah? Taught him how to build an ark. Grace come with information. I'll put up Titus 2, 11 and then 12 when I call for it. Look at this biblical definition of grace. It's very interesting. The grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared to all men. Now look at the first few words of verse 12. Teaching us. Grace is a teacher. Grace taught Noah how to build an ark. Grace is something that the truth comes down. I like to call it the highway that truth comes down to us. Grace. You see, Jesus, the Bible tells us that he was full of grace and truth. Well, think about that with this definition I'm giving you. You know, the Bible also tells us that Nicodemus said that he was a teacher sent from God. What's he doing? He's teaching grace. He's bringing information. He's a teacher, and he's teaching truth. Got it? Okay, so this teacher of truth, when he come to teach us and teach individuals that were on the earth at that time, some places he taught in parables. And parables can be confusing if you don't figure out how they work. And so the parable about the sower of the seed, Jesus told them, you know, if you don't understand this parable, you ain't gonna understand any of them. So his disciples, when they first heard it, they go, what's this? And so Jesus told them, he says, well, it's not for all of these to understand. He says that, but it is for you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. So with that in mind, a set of parables that Jesus taught, I think they're in Luke 15. You don't got to go there. I'm just going to mention them briefly. He taught these in order. He taught about the lost sheep. He taught about leaving the 99 and going for the one, and then putting the one on his shoulders and coming back and rejoicing about the lost sheep. Correct? And then he taught about the lost coins, and so the coins were lost in the house, and the woman that lost the coin, she searched that house all over the place to find the coin, and rejoiced when she found the coin. And then the third parable, and all these are in order on purpose. So the third parable is the prodigal, and the prodigal never really got his stuff together until he come unto himself. And have you ever thought about this being about one person? Have you ever thought about Jesus has told us three parables, but he also told us that we would understand the mysteries. And I got to admit to you, this isn't all mine. You know, I listen to a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching, and they tell me that if you just take from one preacher, that you're stealing, right? But if you listen to a bunch of them, they call that research. Yeah. The lost sheep, you know, being a pastor, I've seen people come in that were lost. And when they heard grace, when they heard the teaching of the word, that something got a hold of their heart, right? And they come to an altar, and miracles are done in their lives, and you're looking at somebody that this happened to. It. And God filled me with his spirit and changed me. Right? Well, what happens to the guy that's in church a while and he gets a little cold and he doesn't stay prayed up and he's got struggling a little bit and he becomes lost in the house? You see how the parable works? And then before you know it, he's gone out the door. And then, you know, the pastor and the Bible study teachers, and nothing will work for this guy. He's got to come to himself. You see, if Jesus, if he is the life, then the exact opposite of that is our enemy, which is the death. If Jesus is the truth, Then the exact opposite of that is the father of lies. Correct? So if Jesus is the way, then the other one is distraction to get you out of the way. And that's what I come to talk to you about tonight. I come to talk to you about the right path. There's a right path. And it's up to you if you want to stand. I'm just now getting to my message. But 2 Chronicles 7, 1 and 3. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Say that with me. The glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how that the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his mercy endureth forever." Psalm 16:11 says this: "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." At thy right hand. So in order for us not to be lost, not to be lost in the house, not to turn into a prodigal. Come on. If you think this can't happen, you need to listen to me. It can happen. Then you got to stay on the right path. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your presence, for your spirit. God, I feel in this place. God, I pray you have your way. God, let your glory come tonight, Lord. We give you the praise, God. Amen. We exalt you. And we thank you. You're welcome to shake somebody's hand next to you. Tell them that you're glad that they're here. And then you may be seated. The right path. You know, the Bible tells us that the steps of a good man. The steps. Not the week's journey, not even the day's journey, but our steps are ordered of the Lord, a good man. I want to tell you, Sister Glover, when the Lord first started directing my steps, I was not a good man. Don't feel like God is not working on somebody. I was a drug addict. I think David, Arlene's husband, said that I told him I used to sell dope. He goes, "Yeah, you were a dope." You know, I mean, God was drawing me way back then. And what I want to put in your head is God is drawing somebody right now in your life that you don't think is possible. Or you think, boy, God's really going to have to do a miracle to do that. Hey, that's what he does. That's why they call him God. So the steps of a good man, he may not start out as a good man. But God, if he can follow the path, come on somebody, he will be a good man. And the only one that knows the beginning from the end, amen, is the one I am teaching about tonight. Hallelujah. Is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knows when we don't know. The Bible also tells us that the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This Word of God, amen. This Word of God, the pastor's talking about us getting out there and teaching. Well, Solomon at this time in his life, he was on the right path. He had built the house of God. He'd put it together. And if you want to read a good story, you can start in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and read that on through 7, where I pulled my text from. Solomon, he made the house of the Lord. It was finished. He brought all the things that David, his father, had set aside, the silver and the gold and the instruments, hallelujah, that David had put together. He brought them into the house, hallelujah. And then he assembled the elders. And then he assembled the heads of the tribes, amen. And he went to Jerusalem, man, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant, amen, and to the house of God. So in 2 Corinthians, or Chronicles, I'm sorry, 5:5, it says, he brought up the ark of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now listen to that. We're talking about the ark of God. Who's it for? The things of God are for you. And all Israel was assembled before the ark. And they brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place. There is a place for the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 9, it says, when they got the ark of the covenant in its place, they pulled out the staves from the rings that were on the side of the ark. And the Bible says they were never seen anymore. Well, let me tell you something. There's some time, some place in your life, you got to get the things of God in their right spot, and you got to get rid of them fast. Whatever moves that thing, it's got to be left there. You got to leave it alone. You got to say, I'm going to serve this all my life. You got to make a decision. Amen. It's got to be a firm. It's got to be on a firm foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the ark. Amen. For the congregation. Hallelujah. So once that ark was in place, the Bible says, and there it is unto this day. There's got to be a time in our life when we take God and we take him serious and we take what he's brung to us and we don't just quit serving him and do this and go do something else and come back to church and I decide, well, yeah, I'm gonna serve him now. I'm in a tight spot. And the reason you're in a tight spot is because you quit serving him. And then God, as soon as we do that, and we make up in our mind, and we pull them staves out, we say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm never moving you out of my life again. God takes us and says, all right, I'm going to guide you on the path. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to put you on the rock, and just go that way. I am with you. Brother Churchill, that's what he does. That's what he does. And he's with us. Through thick and thin, amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's amazing to me when I look up and I study the ark, when there was problems in the church and we couldn't decide who should be the boss and who wasn't, the Lord told Moses, he go get a rod from every tribe and lay him in front of the ark. Come take a look at him the next morning. I'll decide who's doing what around here. Well, I tell you what, you go and you read that story, and the Bible calls the ark of witness. That's what it says, that it's the ark of witness. So that this ark is to be seen, not hid away behind the curtain of your life, and nobody knows that you're serving God. No, it's the ark of witness. Hallelujah. Yeah. So there was a time that when they brung this ark into its place, and the Bible says in verse 10 that there was nothing in this ark except for the two tablets of stone. Well, do you know your Bible well enough to know that there was more in the ark at one point? Okay? At one point, there was the manna and God's provision from heaven. There was the rod, amen, Aaron's rod that budded. We're talking about a dried up stick that he used as a walking stick for years. It was an almond tree in one of the hardest woods and it's been dead for years. I'm preaching to somebody right here. Been dead for years, and you put it next to the Ark of Witness, amen, and all of a sudden, there's some light, there's some green sprouts coming out of that thing. There's some buds coming out of that thing. And if you know anything about almonds, this takes a long time to produce a nut. You may look at me and go, hey, that guy's a nut. Well, I hope I'm an almond nut. I hope I'm something that God has done and made a miracle out of. Oh, hallelujah. But that's what was inside that ark. And there was a battle with when Eli was the priest and the Philistines, they took this ark. And when they got to it, they looked inside of it and they put it next to their god. What was the god's name? Dagon. It almost sounds like doggone. Yeah, but anyway, they put the Ark of the Covenant in there and set him there and in front of their God. And when they come in the next day, he fell over. And they set him back up. And when they come in the next day, his arms were cut off, his head was cut off. And then the Bible says that the people started being afflicted. God was sore against the people. And they started recognizing, man, we got to get this Ark out of here. And it's kind of interesting. Since I feel like I'm at a home here, I will tell you that the Bible says here that it was heavy on them of Ashrod, and he destroyed them and smote them with imrods. Hey, I got an assignment for you. Go to your Strong's and look up that word and see what that means. That means hemorrhoids. I mean, he smote them so hard, and so they couldn't even walk. And they decided, you know what, we got to get rid of this ark. So when the ark come back to Israel, all that was in the ark was the stones. What's the significance of that? Because this is the way it is in a nominal Christian world. They don't want the word of God. All they want is his provision and his miracles. That's all they want. They don't want his law, so to speak. That's why these churches right now are coming undone. I don't know if you've read much about the Methodist Church lately, but they are splitting because they're putting homosexual people behind their pulpits and making them priests, and they're bragging about it. And some of the old time, I'm coming, how bad does it have to get? Aren't you thankful that you got a pastor, amen, that stands by the word of God, amen, and an organization that stands by the word of God? Yeah, but so when they brung this ark into this place and they pulled the staves out of it, all was in it was in the word. The word was all that was there. I come to tell somebody tonight, the word's enough. You see, if you got the Word of God, Brother Churchill, it'll tell you how, amen, to bring down the rain from heaven. Amen. How to get a miracle. Amen. How to get healing. Amen. Oh, yeah, the Word of God, it's all in there. That's all you need. So you might think that was an accident, that God allowed him to take the... God did allow him because he's trying to show somebody you don't need all that stuff. If you got the right spirit and you're hungry, amen, hallelujah, the word of God is enough. Give the Lord a hand clap. So in 10 it says there was nothing in the ark save two tablets which Moses there put therein in Hebron. 11 says it came to pass and the priests come out, of the holy place. They got together, and it says all the Levites and the singers and they were praising God. Wasn't that awesome to see Sister Glover up here leading songs tonight? Yeah. She's been one of my favorites for years. Love that. Amen. 13 says, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that when they lifted up their voice with all the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy. I started this off about teaching you something about mercy and grace. Let me tell you what we need is his mercy. His grace will come. His teaching will come. He will teach us how to stay on the right path. He will teach us more than that. Oh, yes, he will. So as they're singing and they're saying these words about his mercy endureth forever, the Bible says in 13 that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. Watch, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I want you to notice that the only thing in the ark was the word. And people that were willing to worship him and praise him, put him in his rightful place. Pull the staves out of that ark so they wasn't moving around. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let me tell you something about the glory of God. I quoted part of this verse how ago. And John 1:14, the Bible says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. You know what that word means, beheld? I didn't know either until I looked it up. It means to see. To see. We beheld his glory. It means to see with the eyes, not to perceive. I mean to see. To see. You see, there's a difference between God's presence and his glory. How many in here loves the presence of the Lord? Are we all excited about that? We can be closing our eyes and we can feel him when he shows up. And when we exalt him, well, thank you, God, for touching me. You know, people are healed in God's presence. But let me remind you of a little scripture about when he went back home and he couldn't do many mighty miracles because there wasn't enough faith there. All he could do was heal a few folks. Let me tell you what, if that's all that's going on, see, the glory of God is different. When God's glory shows up, do you understand what glory is? Glory is taking something that's invisible and making it visible. The glory is taking somebody that's bound and crippled in a wheelchair and is up at the end of, and rolling up there, and God had come to church and she's bound and her arms are twisted and her feet are towed in and she can't move. And when God healed her and she got out of that wheelchair, let me tell you what, that was his glory. That was taking something that was invisible, you couldn't see, and made it visible. My question is, I mean, we love his presence, but do you want his glory? I want to see his glory. I want to see God do things nobody can do. You know, we need things happening in our church that are not explained, and we can't explain them. Oh, yeah. I've seen some manifestations of God's glory and tumors coming off and people healed. Oh, but I want to, I think this end time. See, we can be in his presence. Have you ever had pastor, whoever's leading, Sister Glover or anybody, And we've worshiped and we're standing and we're praising him and we're worshiping him and they just say these words. They say, let's just linger here a little bit. That ain't the time to give up. Come on now. No. That is just when God is making up his mind whether that he's gonna go from his presence to his glory. We have to see that. God is trying to lead his people on this path. This end time revival, we may not have years. It may come so quick. Woo! And come, sweet Jesus. Come on, somebody. Huh? I just want to be part of what he's doing. I just want to be part of what God... I want to be there when the glory falls. I want to be part of the worshipers. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. God, and feeling his presence. And then wake up on the floor somewhere in this cloud. And these priests couldn't see. They couldn't move. All they could do is get on their floor. That's... You look up the word worship. It doesn't mean clap and sing. It means bow. Let me tell you something a little bit more about that one. When you come to church and you don't feel like praising and worshiping, and you do anyway, well, you really worshiped right then because you bowed and you made your flesh do something you didn't want to do. I tell you what, I sometimes I have fought to get in that door. Not this door, but other doors into church. Fought my way in there. But I've always left better than I came. Every time you're thinking about skipping church, could be a time when God's glory is going to be here. It's about the body. It's about the body of Christ. It's that ark and things of God is for the congregation. Can I get an amen? Yeah, you can feel his presence, but you see his glory. You can see his glory. You see, the Word of God will teach us how to praise him. The Word of God will teach us how to clap. Teach us how to dance. Teach us how to run. Come on now, somebody. Teach us how to sing unto the Lord. Amen. It'll do that. But it'll also teach you how to lay hands on the sick. Any among you afflicted, let him praise. Any merry, let him sing sings. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hey, this is in the Word. This is written miracle. This is written. We do this. We worship God. We do this. Somebody's sick. Pastor shouldn't have to go to you to say, are you feeling all right? Do you want prayer? That ain't what that says. No, let me tell you what. If you follow the ark, if you follow what the Word says, get your carcass out of that pew and come up here and ask for prayer. Hey, give this Word a chance. Give this Word a chance. Are you willing to give God a chance? Hey, I'm on firm ground because I'm on Bible. I'm on Bible. Amen. His Word will show us the path of life. Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Because if you stay in his presence long enough, the glory will come. The glory will come. This word, fullness of joy, when you look that up, that's talking about exceeding gladness. Hey, that ain't buying a new truck. That ain't even getting a big dividend. No, exceeding gladness is something that could have never happened without the hand of God. And you're only going to get that in his presence. It's talking about mirth. It's talking about pleasure, joy. You see, there's two kinds of presence. There's omnipresence, which if you study that out, that means God's everywhere, right? But there's another. There's a manifest presence of God. It says that's when God shows up. And it's more than just his presence. That's when things happen that God's working and nobody can see, and he makes them visible. What I'm asking you is, do you want to see that? I'm becoming an elder, and I have utmost respect for my elders, and I love all of you. But let me ask you something. You guys have hung around for a long time, right? Well, why not let's go to the next level with this? Why don't we hang around in his presence and be there when his glory falls? Did you know that there's something, that there's another level to this? Now, I've been in a few services when this has happened, and you have too. But have you been in one lately? Have you been in one recently? God wants to bring us to a place where that's in every service of corn. Yeah. Happening, man. We come expecting not just his presence, but expecting his glory. Expecting him to heal. Expecting somebody to walk through that door and be delivered. Amen. Expecting this altar full of people we don't even know. Let me ask you a question. Who was the first one filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost? Did you hear the answer?
The house.
Now, you think you can serve God anywhere? You can be out in the with the fish and fishing Sunday when service is going on. My church is the forest and the trees. How many times have you heard that? Yeah. Let me tell you what. The first time God's spirit fell, the house got full. Come on, the house got full. I want to be in the house. I want to be in the house of God. I want to be where his spirit comes down, where them guys couldn't stand up. That's what I'm talking about. Well, we can have that. We got two of us here. Do you believe that? I tell you what, if you think you can, stand to your feet, because I want to see it if there's some believers in the house. You believe you can have the glory of God fall? Amen. Okay, sit down. I just give you hope there. God's. It starts with his presence. So here's the deal. We think we've succeeded and we've done something when his presence shows up. No. That's the start. Hey, he just walked in the door. It ain't time for us to quit. Let me tell you something about the presence of God. most of you guys know that I was a pretty rough character. My sister loved me anyway. I tell you what, I was a heathen, man. But she loved me anyway. She and her husband got me into this great big wonderful thing called Amway, and you can laugh if you want, you know, but it was a start, it was a rung on the ladder, you know, and they'd tell you about Jesus and he'll clean you up and they'll sell you some soap too, and if you buy enough soap you'll get a box. That right, sis? That's right. And so. We were trying to do the Amway thing, and Arlene would come to the meetings we'd have in Fairbanks, and She told me later, she goes, Art, I can't hardly stand your meetings because of the language you use. She ain't never heard an Amway salesman talk like that. But one day, I'm talking to her on the phone, and we were talking about Dad. Dad had died, and when my dad died, I was 17 years old. Something happened spiritually that really put me on the wrong path. And I'm talking about the right path here tonight. But it started me down the wrong path. And so she and I was talking, and she asked me this question. She said, did you know that Dad was calling people that he had problems with to his bedside and asking him forgiveness? And I said, no, what? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, my father. And you see, what I didn't know is I had held that against God for taking him out of my life. It destroyed me for years. And she and I was talking about this, and as she was telling me this, I was starting to shake, man. And I'm a big, tough Amway biker. You should have seen some of the meetings we had. Unbelievable. But anyway, we were talking, and she'd tell me all these people and how they would. Dad died like the next day or 2 days after this happened, and she's telling me this, and this is years after Dad's death, and I have just hurt, and when she told me this, I couldn't take it, and I started to cry. And I told her, I said, I got to go. And I hung up the phone. I didn't want anybody to see me cry. So I went into the bathroom. I got in the tub, clothes and all, shoes and all, and turned on the shower so I could cry. And I started bawling and crying, Sister Clover. I was just sobbing. I didn't know what. Well, something come in there. I felt this thing, whatever it was. I felt whatever it was. I never felt it before. He come in there, and he put his arms around me, and he held me, and I just bawled. I'm telling you, I weeped like I had never wept. I never wept at his funeral. And I wept, and I wept. Well, I got over that, and I don't even know if I've told Arlene this. I got over that, and I went right back to the drugs, and then Amway didn't stick around very long after that, and I lost my family and lost my business. Years went on here, and I got involved with the Hell's Angels and all that stupid stuff, and it just got worse and worse. And I went to the Hell's Angel World Run in 1994. I was part of the security for Alaska, for San Francisco. Alaska was the security. And I was part of that. And it was right after that meeting that I rode my bike back up and went to Hood River. And my sister Rosie was there. She invited me to go to church with her. Let me tell you what, folks, I had white rings around my nose. I stunk from alcohol. You talk about bad spirits. But yet God was drawing me. So my sister says, hey, Art, would you do something for me? And I says, what do you want? I mean, I'd do anything for my family. You got to understand, I wasn't very easy to love. I'm still not easy to love. Sister Glover does a really good job. She lets me in her house. I get to sleep in a big king bed, and everything's just so perfect. Oh my, what an honor! But when Rosie would show me a little love, I'd just do whatever. And she said, "Would you go to church with me?" And I says, "Sure." So I rode my Harley to church, Brother Glover, and I parked right in that sign that said pastor. Blah, 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 open headers. I let them know I was there, man. I had my chip on my shoulder and the white rings around my nose and got off of that Harley and walked inside. Half of them men ran from me, and some of them come up to me. Bill Wheat, who still prays for me today, walked up and shook my hand. Could you shake my hand for me? Looked me right in the eye, and I'd never seen a look like that because I had been looking at evil. And when I looked into his eyes, I seen clear, pure. Wow, that's different. You know, and so when the pastor preached the message, Bill Wheat was like the first one on the altar. I said, what's going on with that? Well, it was years later I found out that he knew something I didn't know. So anyway, I went to church two or three times, and I think it was like the third time I was sitting back here by, probably in the backslider section way back here. And this person come up and he goes, Art, would you like to come to the altar? And I don't know why I said it. I can't tell you today why I said it. But I said, sure. And if that person hadn't asked me, I don't know where. I guess God would have sent somebody else. And so I went with them to the altar. And this is the honest, purest representation that I have of this. When as I got closer to the altar, I could start to feel that presence that I'd only felt in the bathtub. And the revelation come to me, that was you. That was you. And as I got closer up here, the revelation come to me, Pastor. That was God holding me in my worst moment in my life. And here I was. And I just dropped to my knees. And I was at the altar. I mean, I was there.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Hey, listen. Somebody had to have guts enough to ask me to go to church to begin with. And somebody had to have guts enough to walk back here to this stinking dude and invite him to the altar. Now, listen. Your Bible that's in the ark, the things of God that you have, that you treasure, says that you have not because you ask not. Well, let me open some. See there. When we read Proverbs, we see that wisdom has got a partner, and that partner is understanding. Well, what's the difference? Well, wisdom is God trying to teach us and tell us to go invite that person to church or invite him up to the altar, and we're scared to do it. But the very first time that we go to somebody and we say, hey, man, I think the Lord's drawing you today. Would you come to me with the altar? And they get up and they come. Let me tell you what that is. That's understanding. That's when wisdom and understanding meet. It's because you have proof. You understand that it works. But how are you going to know unless you ask? How are you going to know unless you ask? I promise you, we're wanting the glory to fall. Yeah, I'm going to tell you how to get the glory to fall. You get this place full of people. You get some people in here that are drug addicts and messed up, and you don't think there's any hope from them. Let me tell you what, I serve a God that can deliver anybody. I don't care. I mean, my Bible tells me he opens blind eyes, he loosens the tongue, he heals the lame. Hey, He can take a guy that was headed to be a hell's angel and turn him into a heaven's angel. Amen. Do you understand what the definition of an angel is? You ought to look it up. It says messenger. And there's also pastor right in there with it. Right in the same definition. You got an angel up here. If you ain't figured that out yet, there's something wrong. This is an angel of God. He's a messenger. But somebody's got to go, and somebody's got to ask them, and somebody's got to bring them into the presence of God. So if you're in the presence of God, and maybe you haven't had any miracles for a while, and maybe you're not even when everybody else is praising him and the tears are running down their face, and you're deadpan, you're not feeling nothing. Well, where are you in the parables? Are you lost? Are you on the wrong path? Are you lost in the house? How close are you to becoming that other dude where no messenger can reach you? Do you know that the percentage-wise, there's not that many prodigals come back? Don't get to that place. But if you've had an experience with God, and you're just not feeling it like you'd like to feel it, God has a remedy for that. And he gave it to Solomon in the same time in chapter 7. He said, if my people, go ahead and stand with me. I'm not kidding this time. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. That's not it. See, you got to do the whole recipe. If you want this to turn out, you got to do the whole thing. Yeah, seek my face, and you understand that he's a God of order. You understand that the parables I taught you at the beginning of this was in order of a reason, right? Well, this is in order too. It's not until you seek his face that you can turn from your wicked ways.
Yeah, but I don't want everybody to know that I'm wicked ways.
I'll tell you, there's nobody perfect in this building except for maybe Sister Glover. So what we're going to do here in a few minutes is when I open this altar up, we're all going to come because I don't want you to stick out like a sore thumb. Say thank you. Okay, but what's he say here? He say, turn from their wicked ways, and then, watch what he says, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin. And so what land is he talking about? He's talking about who he's got for you to bring to church. It's not going to happen unless you ask. It's not going to happen unless you suck it up. Well, I'm afraid they'll tell me no. Well, what about if he says yes? Oh, my God, he said yes. I got to call everybody I know. He said yes. He's coming to church. So then he doesn't show up. And then you're like, I'm never going to ask anybody ever again. Boy, that's the will of God. How many fishermen we got in here? Brother Churchill, raise your hand. How many fishermen you got in here? Let me ask you a question. If you don't catch any fish, do you quit fishing? No. Why did God like this soul went into fishing? He says, come here, I'll make you fishers of men. Yes. It's because you don't walk out there and just beat the water. Right. Hey, jump in a boat. Hey, look, you're trying to get them clean before they ever get in the boat. Here's a little something I'll give you for free. You leave the cleaning to the pastor. You just get them here. Don't try and get them all cleaned up and looking pretty. Hey, we don't care how they come in. You got to get that in your heart. We don't care what they look like when they come in that door. If you're going to try and clean them up before they get here, buddy, you're trying to clean them before they ever get in the boat. So have the miracles left? Are they no longer happening? Do you feel dried up? No rain? Here's a good one. Can't keep any money. Sickness. Let me tell you what. If you're a Holy Ghost filled person of God and you don't come up here and ask for prayer tonight, I'm going to be very disappointed. And so is your pastor, because he knows who's sick and I don't know. But do you want to get healed or not? Do you want God to touch you or not? Then get in a line with His Word. You want God to heal your land? You want God to touch you? You want God to make you a... You want to be in God's glory? It's in His Word. My Bible tells me that these signs shall follow them that believe. See, here's the deal. He don't confirm what Art Farmer says. He confirms what His Word says. If I just stay in the book, if I could just teach my successors to stay in the book, this thing ain't going to end, man. Not till Jesus comes up. Here's what I want to do. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. It's not my gig, okay? But I want to invite everybody to come up here. And let's get in the presence of God. We've heard His Word tonight. We've heard some grace tonight. God is extending some grace tonight. He is teaching us tonight. And if we can all come in one mind and one accord, I tell you what's going on right this second. Since everybody's moving this way, the angels are going, do you see that? Do you see that going on down there? Hey, them people are listening. And hey, maybe Jesus is asleep in the boat, but I don't think so. I think He's getting ready to come down here. I tell you, we get in one mind and one accord. I got some Bible about this. I got some Bible about this. What do you need? What changes would you like in your life? Oh, Jesus, we just don't want your presence, Lord. God, we want your glory, Jesus.